What's up, Playlisters? Brian from Playlist Wars here. Just want to let you know that while this show is on hiatus, both Gomez and I have separate shows that are part of the Playlist Wars extended universe, if you will. Gomez has the Sleevey G Show, which you can find at SleeveyGPodcasts.com. And I have a new show entitled My Weekly Mixtape, which you can find over at MyWeeklyMixtape.com. Both shows are also available on all podcast platforms just by searching Sleevey G Show or My Weekly Mixtape. And Playlist Wars will be back soon. Thank you guys so much for your continued support of the show.
Hi, everybody. This is Jay Hall from the Oki Bookcast, and you're listening to Playlist Wars. Let the battle begin.
Welcome to Playlist Wars. I'm part of the dynamic duo. My name is Brian Colburn. Unfortunately, Gomez won't be on tonight's show, but thankfully we have two guests who'll be entering the Playlist Wars ring with me tonight. First, let's welcome Patreon playlister Philip Bergman to the show. Philip, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you for having me. I am excited to put the gloves on here.
All right, and we're excited to have you. Also joining me, filling in for Gomez tonight, is friend of the podcast, Ed Kennard, who's co-host of the Greatest Song Ever Sung Poorly podcast. Ed, thank you for jumping in with us tonight. We really appreciate it, man.
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me, and I promise not to sing any of my answers.
All right. Well, I'm excited to dive into tonight's topic, which is the iconic music label Motown. Now, Philip, being the Patreon playlister, you and I sat down and went back and forth and kind of narrowed down a list of a bunch of different topics down to Motown. So after we did that pre-Playlist Wars battle, you had the fun task of whittling down this iconic label to 10 tracks. So how difficult did you find it?
Some of it was easy and some of it was very difficult because there were certain songs I knew I had to have. There were certain artists I knew I had to have. Sometimes the song I really liked didn't fit in with the overall gestalt of my playlist, and I had to switch things around, switch the order. So to a degree, it was easy, and to a degree, it was difficult because looking at the suggestions that came in on Patreon and Twitter, I'm thinking, I am going to get clobbered because I am on a so different wavelength from so many people here. So I'm nervous, but looking forward to this.
I would not be nervous at all because a lot of times when you bring in songs to the fold that the playlisters didn't respond to on either social channel, that could go really well because people go, oh my God, I never even thought about this song before. This guy's got it. And you win votes that way. So it's not necessarily just picking the song that the most people chimed in with, because when people listen back, sometimes they're looking for outside the box. So Ed, same question for you. You had to jump into this rather quickly. So how difficult did you find it? Or did the element of hurry up, we need a quick fill in, pick 10 songs, did that make it easier for you?
At first, I thought it was going to be really easy. Motown's one of my core competencies, but you reminded me that this is also a competition. So I kind of brought my karaoke approach to it, where if I want to get a easier win at a karaoke night, I picked that song that people forgot they remember, so they get that dopamine hit. So some of them are a little bit deep cut, some of them are pretty obvious. And man, I tell you what though, narrowing it down to 10 was hard. It was so hard because the original playlist I started with was 45.
Okay.
And I had it down to 15, and it took me as long to get from 15 to 10 as it got me from 45 to 15.
I'm with you there because I just made a list of the artists that didn't make the cut, and I just wrote a song. What song would I have chosen had I included them? So preparing for the contingencies here.
Well, for me, I took the approach of Motown music, no matter what the age group, no matter what the demographic, it is a label that brought fun to so many people for so many decades. That's why the label is so iconic. That's why they've had Broadway musicals based off of this music. It is something that has spanned generations. So for me, some of the artists might be obvious, but some of the songs might not be so much. So that was kind of the approach I took for tonight.
For me, one of the things I noticed as I was compiling it is it's a lot of sad songs that sound happy.
Yeah.
Is really one of the untalked about signatures of the Motown style. So a lot of that filtered into my playlist. So mine's going to be about let's be happy while being sad.
Well, before we get down to business, if you like what you're hearing on Playlist Wars and want to support the show, please consider becoming a Patreon member at patreon.com/Playlist Wars. We have several tiers to choose from and appreciate the support on any level. Once again, patreon.com/Playlist Wars. Once again, our topic for tonight is the legendary, iconic Motown label. And we've each created a playlist with our top 10 favorite tracks, none of which have been shared between the three of us prior till now. Throughout the episode, we'll each reveal our track ones through track tens, one by one, crafting what we each feel is the perfect Motown playlist. After the episode, we turn it over to you, the playlister jury, to vote at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com to decide once and for all which one of us got it right. And while you're visiting PlaylistWarsPodcast.com, you can also listen to each one of our playlists just in case you want to hear our individual thought processes through the songs themselves. Later on in the show, we'll each get to choose our one honorable mention song of the night, which has to be a song that somebody else on this panel chose, but you didn't. So, Philip, you now have nowhere to run because you're up with your track one, a rhyming dad pun. How horrible is that?
I love it. But I got to call you out, Brian, because I was dropping several hints talking about my work as a letter carrier. So I guess what you're really asking is, please, Mr. Postman, kick things off with your track one.
Hey, 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 hey.
All right. My track one, I went straight for the party as well. And I went with Do You Love Me by The Contours. If that title doesn't quite ring a bell, you'll probably know it with the tagline, Now That I Can Dance. This was released on the Gordy subsidiary label in 1962. It was number three on the Billboard Hot 100, number one on the R&B charts, and on Billboard's competitors, Cashbox and Music Vendor, both those charts, it went to number two. This is my earliest charting song, but it's also my latest charting song on my list, because in 1988, because it was in the movie Dirty Dancing, it recharted at number 11 on the Hot 100, number 24 on the Adult Contemporary charts, Cashbox 13, and then Radio and Records charts, number 8. So this was a huge hit. It was written by Berry Gordy. I love the song so much for its intro, like a little teasing guitar intro and the spoken word that ramps it up, and it just kicks into overdrive with the chorus. Great song. And to me, this is basically the consummate Motown song, because when I think of what Motown Records, the whole empire, brought to the story and the evolution of rock and roll, it's basically a merging of the rising popularity of youth culture and the rising popularity of African-American culture. And this song just hits it on the head so perfectly that I use this song to represent Berry Gordy for his induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1988. If someone says, why does he get in? I put on that song, and that's the perfect song to show him, and it's the perfect song to kick off this playlist.
So, Ed, do you have anything either by The Contours, because this is a topic-based episode, or the track Do You Love Me?
Do You Love Me by The Contours is my number 10 song. I wanted to close out on a high note.
Whoa!
And I can't think of a higher note than that song. That song is just pure party.
Fantastic. Well, I have even better news from that, because you guys flip-flopped and started and ended with it. Mine, hopefully, is placed properly, because I'm giving us our first trifecta of the night right from the jump. That's my track four. Philip, I think you hit the nail on the head with everything. Because I'm a cover songs guy, I love to do my cover song research. And holy hell, Motown has been covered more times than any other cover songs rabbit hole I have gone down in Playlist Wars history. However, Do You Love Me has only been covered a mere 89 times throughout the years, including versions by Chubby Checker, the Dave Clark Five, and for Gomez out there, David Hasselhoff. The only ones worthy of mentioning, however, for me, were the 1980s cover by the Blues Brothers from their Made in America album, which was also mashed up with Mother Popcorn, You Gotta Have a Mother for Me. And 2019, punk band The Dolly Rots did a female-fronted cover of the song. Thought those were fantastic. Want to give a shout-out to Patreon playlister Ryan Howell, who also chimed in with this classic track. Our first song of the night and our first trifecta, The Contours, Do You Love Me? Ed, with all of that, we are right back to you now for your track one.
Well, I wanted to kick it off a little historical. So my track one was their first really big chart topper for the label. It's a woman singer. People might know it much later from being slightly modified for Sister Act, but it is My Guy by Mary Wells from 1964's Mary Wells Sings My Guy. Written by Smokey Robinson, a phrase I feel like we're going to say a lot in this episode. Prior to Wells' chart-topping version, Petula Clark actually recorded a version earlier. And it's just the exact kind of sound you expect from 1964. It's very upbeat. It's very simple, but like deceptively so.
Philip, did My Guy or any songs by Mary Wells make your playlist?
I have no Mary Wells on my playlist. I did consider What's Easy for Two is So Hard for One, kind of a buried gem that still made the top 40, but because My Guy was just so huge, people have forgotten about that one. I have to admit, My Guy, growing up in Michigan, a lot of oldies radio played a lot of Motown. That's one that kind of got done to death. I like the song just fine, except for the horn intro. I don't know if there was distortion in the recording or what, but the horn at the beginning and in the middle just doesn't sit right for me. Other than that, the track is great. I love the swinging beat of it, but it's just the horn line there that keeps it off my playlist.
I love the song, and I think Ed nailed it when he said it's a historical song for the label. I think that's a great way to put this one. It did not make my list, but again, it's Motown. From what I'm seeing here, 57 different cover versions, including, of course, the Queen of Soul herself, Aretha Franklin, LaToya Jackson, Sheena Davis, the Eurythmics. This song has been covered a lot. And obviously, if it wasn't for the first one being as iconic as it was, there might not be as many. So I love the song. Sadly, did not make my list or Phillip's. So we are moving on now to my track one. I wanted to start my playlist with the biggest party song I could think of. I wanted to literally have this party popping off right from the get-go. And to me, what song kicks in with more intensity from the Motown label than 1964's Dancing in the Street by Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, written by Marvin Gaye, William Mickey Stevenson, and Ivy Joe Hunter. It reached number 2 on the Billboard US Hot 100 and number 1 in all of our hearts. Gomez would be very upset with me if I did not bring up this movie reference, because for me, it's one of my favorite 80s movies. And it's the scene in One Crazy Summer when John Cusack debuts the boat and they're all doing the dance to the song On the Boat. I love that movie as a kid. I love this song. Obviously, cover versions out the wazoo, a couple worthy of mentioning. Obviously, 1982, Diver Down, Van Halen's version, which reached number 38 on the Billboard US Hot 100. And then a few years later, David Bowie and Mick Jagger's cover reached number 7. So this song has been in the top 100 by multiple artists. But besides those I mentioned, over 150 other covers, including The Grateful Dead, The Kinks, The Mamas and the Papas, Little Richard, Black Oak Arkansas, Neil Diamond, The Who, and Phil Collins, just to name a few. Shout out on Twitter to Josh Zimmer, who also chimed in with this classic jam. My track one, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, Dancing in the Street. Philip, did you have either anything by Martha Reeves and the Vandellas or Dancing in the Street on your playlist?
Those who know me will tell you I am a big fan of Martha and the Vandellas. They are my favorite, what you would call the Motown powerhouse acts. So of course they're on my list. I went with Heat Wave for my track six on the Gordy subsidiary, number four on the Billboard charts, Cashbox, and Music Vendor. It went to number three. And then on the R&B charts, number one for 4 weeks. Heat Wave. What I love about that song is that Martha's voice is just so soulful, and you have the sax line in it. It almost sounds like it could be a Stax Volt recording. I love Stax Volt's soul as well as Motown, and that could have been Motown or Stax Volt, just with the horns and her voice, the way it all blends together. So I decided to kick off my side B of the record, as it were, with Heat Wave.
All right, Ed, do we have a Martha Reeves and the Vandellas trifecta, or am I handing you a trifecta killing axe?
My number three song is Nowhere to Run by Martha and the Vandellas.
Whoa, three different songs. I love it.
That is a great one. And oh, go on, man. Say what you got to say.
Yeah. I mean, narrowing them down was so hard. I personally felt like Dancing in the Street was just too obvious a choice for me.
Hell yeah, and it is, because it's that great.
it is that great. And from 1965's Dance Party. It's a Holland Dozier Holland song, which is another thing I think we'll say a lot during this show. Mm-hmm. And the backing band for Motown, the Funk Brothers, just really laid it down on that one. Nowhere to Run. Ooh. It's got the same kind of vibe as Baby, I Need Your Lovin' by the Four Tops. It's got kind of that same groove, even though it's not the same notes or anything. But man, I'd love Nowhere to Run.
And when I hear that song, I immediately, again, go to an 80s movie. I don't know, maybe because Gomez isn't here, he's channeling himself through me, but I go back to Good Morning Vietnam, because I remember that song vividly from that movie. And that was almost, I want to say, for my age, besides going to car shows with my parents all the time, because my father was someone who restored old cars. He restored a 1966 GTO and a 1968 Camaro when I was growing up. So we'd always be at car shows, and these songs were always playing in the background. So between that and seeing it in the movies, these songs felt fresh and modern to me growing up, even though they were already on their second, third, and fourth lives.
I think that's called being timeless.
Yes. There you go.
And I want to drop a cover here on Nowhere to Run too, if I may.
Please.
It's not so much a cover, it's a mashup. Somebody did a mashup of Martha and the Vandellas' Nowhere to Run with Motley Crue's 10 Seconds to Love. And it absolutely works. It's the music bed of 10 Seconds to Love. And as I talked about Martha being such a powerful, soulful singer, her voice keeps up with the hair metal of Nowhere to Run as she's nailing it. Look it up on YouTube. It's out there. It's interesting. I love that mashup.
I'll do one step better. Send me the link when we're done recording tonight, and I'll post that at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com on the Motown page so everybody could check it out right when the episode is done, after they voted, of course.
Good deal.
Philip, we are only on track two here, and we are back to you now.
All right, I'm taking a gamble, what I feel is a gamble, three times on my list, and this is the first gamble. My track two is It Takes Two by Marvin Gaye and Kim Weston from 1967 on the Tamla subsidiary, number four on the R&B charts, 14 on Billboard, Cashbox only 43, and Record World number 19. I call this a gamble because when you think of Marvin Gaye, you don't think of the earlier songs. Everybody thinks of his either sexually charged or socially charged recordings of the 70s. And this one is even before I heard it through the grapevine, which was the same year, but before it. But I love this song. Motown really was well known for their duets. And Marvin Gaye was the leading man for the duets many, many times. He, of course, famously recorded with Tammy Terrell a lot. He also had duets with Mary Wells, whom we mentioned, as well as Diana Ross. Kim Weston, this was her biggest hit. I think he was the only one that made top 40. But this song just cooks. The tambourine and percussion line really keep the song shaking and moving. And I love the strings, the high strings there. They do the fills in between the lines back and forth between Marvin and Tammy. It just holds it all together. Such a fabulous song. I love it. I couldn't ignore it. It Takes Two, Marvin and Kim, track two.
Ed, do you have any Marvin Gaye or that track in your playlist?
I do have some Marvin Gaye. My number eight song is Inner City Blues, Make Me Wanna Holler. Still as relevant today as when it came out in 1971 on the What's Going On album. So yes, that's there.
I also have Marvin Gaye on my playlist to complete a trifecta. I am going with, Philip, a song that you mentioned. It is I Heard It Through the Grapevine, originally written by Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong. The song was originally released by Gladys Knight and the Pips and reached number two on the Billboard US Hot 100. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles were actually the first group to record the song, but their version wasn't released until 68. Marvin Gaye's version from his In the Groove album reached number one on the Billboard US Hot 100. This song is so iconic. There are over 265 different versions that I was able to find online. Ella Fitzgerald, Joe Cocker, Elton John, Garth Brooks. These are big, big names. And this is a big, big song, because if you screw this song up, you're going to know about it. The other noteworthy covers I want to mention, obviously 1970s Creedence Clearwater Revival does an incredible 11-minute version on Cosmos Factory. And I mean, John Fogerty's voice, as much as I love Marvin Gaye's version, the I Just Swallowed Razor Blades for an Hour and a Half rasp that he brings to the song on paper doesn't sound like it could work. But holy God, does it work. And I mean, obviously, if you guys are anywhere near my age range, I am sure who would forget the 1988 classic by the California Raisins from their CD, Sings the Hit Songs, which I do indeed own. Shout out to Patreon playlister Movie Lovers, TV Lovers Unite, who also chimed in with I Heard It Through the Grapevine, along with Patreon playlisters Eric Chale and Sissy, who, along with Eric, Time to Get Ill on Twitter, all chimed in with that sexually charged Let's Get It On. And then Hannah Kreitz and Dave Zalatoris from the Beer in Front podcast chimed in on Twitter with the social end of things. What's going on? I knew we could do an easy, easy Marvin Gaye episode. So I was going to be absolutely shocked if that was not a trifecta. But I'm obviously glad to see it was. Especially from the fact that we all kind of hit different places in it, that it all wasn't in one direction. So that makes it harder for the playlisters to figure out who they want to vote for. So I love it. Ed, we are back to you now for your track two.
So my track two is a rare Isley Brothers track from their time at Motown, which was very short before they went on to start their own T-neck label. It is This Old Heart of Mine from the 1966 album, This Old Heart of Mine. Again, another Holland Dozier Holland song. It was originally written for the Supremes. And like I said earlier, it's a recurring theme in a lot of songs from the Motown era and my playlist. Darker, unhappy songs with upbeat melodies.
Philip, do you have anything by the Isley Brothers or that song in your playlist?
I do not, but I will tell you right now, that is number one with a bullet for my honorable mention. I was hoping somebody would mention that song so I would at least have an easy default. That one was a very, very painful cut for me. That is one of the first Motown songs I loved. Even as much as I was inundated with it, that is one I could keep listening to. Amazing song. Thank you for making my job easier tonight. So if nothing else, I've got that one to fall back on.
Oh, man, this was a tough one. This is obviously a group that was in contention to make my playlist. They just didn't make the top 10, and it was a painful, painful choice for me. All right, well, moving on to my track two now. I can't believe we're only at track two, but we are plugging in a lot of different spots on the board as we're chugging along here. for my track two, I'm going to go with a song that was written by Smokey Robinson. And this song actually resulted in two hit versions for the Motown label alone, as both The Temptations and my track two, Rare Earth, recorded the track. In 1966, The Temptations version of Get Ready reached number 29 on the Billboard US Hot 100. And 4 years later, Rare Earth's version reached number 4 on the same chart, as well as my track two. This song has been covered well over 100 times. A few versions that are worth mentioning are The Supremes, Tom Jones, Ella Fitzgerald, Hall & Oates, Nancy Sinatra, and The Proclaimers. Yes, the 500 Miles guys covered the song for the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack. So, I mean, if you were around in the 90s and you saw the movie, you probably know the song, but this song absolutely rocks. This is less soul, but I'm a rock guy. So to be able to include the rock side of Motown in my list, especially from this early era, I just thought felt really a reflection on who I am musically, to being able to show my vibe in this playlist. And coming out of Dancing in the Streets, the party's going, Get Ready could have very well been a track one as well, because you get that doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. You're into it. Like, you feel it right away. So my track two, Rare Earth, Get Ready.
Yeah, very well could have been a track one. In fact, when I was first creating my list, that was my track one, but it just didn't fit in with the rest of the list. It didn't flow well into track two, so I took it out and put a different song in, and then eventually settled on Do You Love Me. But yes, I absolutely see where you're going with this. The thing about with Motown and their covers, they were notorious for their artists covering each other all the time, being an in-house thing with the songwriters and the house band. So that is very much a common thing with Motown. And I think Motown artists may have contributed at least a third of the cover versions that we could mention.
Yeah.
Had to be excised from the final list, but that was in there at one point.
All right, Ed.
Rare Earth. That song is a bop, but it did not make my list.
I had a feeling that when I picked this one, this would be one that I would be alone on, which again could fare very well or very poorly for me. But I was like, let me go with Rare Earth. So moving on to track three, my track three has already been uncovered as Marvin Gaye's I Heard It Through the Grapevine, and Ed's has already been covered as Martha Reeves and the Vandellas' Nowhere to Run. Philip, you're the lonely track three. What do you got for us?
All right, track three, I went to song recorded in 1966, peaked on the charts in 1967 on the Tamla label. I went Place in the Sun by Stevie Wonder. Number three on the R&B charts, number 9 on the Billboard Pop, 10 in Cashbox, 7 Record World. On the Easy Listening charts, went to number 29. This song is just so smooth, so beautiful, so lush even, that it just has a great kind of a walking feel, maybe, or a loping, strolling kind of feel to it. And unlike Ed's list, from what I'm hearing, this is not a sad song that sounds happy. This is a hopeful song sung optimistically. Part of me kind of wonders, was Stevie trying to write another Change Is Gonna Come with this song? I don't know, but it certainly has that feel, like he was trying to write his own version, or well, record his own version. It was actually written by Ron Miller and Brian Wells, but it feels like it was kind of being another version of Let's Not Lose Hope. And it is such a beautiful, beautiful song.
Ed.
Of course I have Stevie Wonder on here. It's actually my most upbeat song on my entire playlist. It is 1976's Sir Duke from Songs in the Key of Life. Even though it's a song that commemorates a death, meaning Duke Ellington, it's so full of life, pound for pound, it's my biggest cheer-me-up song. It is impossible to be miserable while that song is playing.
So what track did that make in
that
your list?
That was track 9.
Track 9. Interesting placement. I love it. Well, obviously, we're going to have a Stevie Wonder trifecta, because it would, let's just be real here, if you don't include Stevie Wonder on your playlist, it's Playlist War Suicide, because no one's going to vote for you. So I went with one that fit in the best with where my playlist was heading, because it's always, I'm a very much a rock guy. And I went back to 1972's Talking Book. To me, it's so iconic, you can't deny it. The lead single from that album, Superstition, reached number one on the Billboard US Hot 100, won two Grammy Awards for Best Rhythm and Blues Song, as well as Best R&B Vocal Performance Male. And in 2021, Rolling Stone magazine ranked the song number 12 on its 500 greatest songs of all time. Well over 185 cover songs of this posted, but only a few ones that are really worthy to mention to me, because the original is so iconic. You really need to bring something to this to set apart, or else you shouldn't be touching it. To me, this song is up there with a Stairway to Heaven. If you're not bringing something like Heart did at the Kennedy Center Honors, you better step back. But these few versions I'm going to point out, I think, do the song justice. In 1973, Beck, Bogart, and a piece on their self-titled album. And obviously in 1986, blues legend Stevie Ray Vaughan's version. I think those are two you got to give a tip of the hat to, especially because the song is just so damn funky. I mean, when I think of funk music, I have to say it right now. If we do a funk playlist, this will probably kick my playlist off, because it just oozes funk. Shout out to Patreon playlisters Sissy, Anthony Welk, and Cactus Pete, along with Malice After Midnight, A Gamer Looks at 40, and Eric, Time to Get Ill, who all chimed in with Superstition. Patreon playlister Eric Chale, who chimed in with Sunshine of My Life. Jay All from the Oaky Bookcast also chimed in with Sir Duke, Ed, so that might fare very well for you. Josh Zimmer chimed in with Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Yours. And Z1 Pod chimed in with I Was Made to Love Her. All this tells me is a Stevie Wonder episode needs to happen on a future Playlist Wars episode, because there's way too many songs to whittle down. I think we got three fantastic ones, though. So I think in the spirit of tonight's playlist, we did Stevie well, I think. Moving on to track four, I had The Contours' Do You Love Me. Philip, you're up next.
All right. This is the biggest of my three gambles far and away, but I had to include the group here because anybody who knows me, to put this in your lingo, Brian, this group is my Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So very few people know, though, that from 1972 to 1975, the Four Seasons, yes, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons were on the Mo West subsidiary of Motown Records. And they recorded two albums, a handful of singles, nothing in the way of promotion. So not really no chart action other than one song that went to like number 90, I think, on the Record World charts. But the song I chose is called The Night from the first album that they recorded. This song, like I said, didn't chart. It was re-released in 1975. Again, nothing in the States, but on the British charts, this song went to number 7. Hmm. Yeah. And you ask any British fan of the Four Seasons to name off a handful of their favorite songs, they're going to mention the obvious ones, but they're also going to mention The Night, as well as they should, including probably Mark Almond of Soft Cell, because in 2002, they recorded a version of The Night. In fact, it's rumored that this song was originally going to be recorded in 1981, but they chose to record a little known song called Tainted Love instead. Huh. The song itself, Brian, you're a bass player. The song has a great bass intro. Admittedly, it doesn't sound like a Motown song. It sounds like a Four Seasons song, but the bass line on this is really great. The harmonies up to snuff like always. And if you don't like the Four Seasons because you hate Frankie Valli's falsetto, there is no falsetto on this record. By this point, Frankie really got sick of the gimmickry of his falsetto, so he used it very sparingly. So that's not on this track at all. It's obviously a huge deep cut, but I had to include it because I'm such a huge fan of the Four Seasons. So my track four is The Night.
Ed, do you have anything by either Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons or the track The Night on your list?
I do not. What about you?
Sadly, I don't either. I think of the stuff that the Four Seasons did outside of Motown. So I love the inclusion of this pick because I didn't have the gall to go there with my list. So I love where you went with it. Ed, we are back to you now for your track four then.
This one was one of my hardest to choose because this is an artist that's so associated with Motown, either in terms of the stuff that they did and released or the songs that were written. But my number four is You Really Got a Hold on Me by The Miracles from 1963's The Fabulous Miracles, another song written by Smokey Robinson, who was influenced after hearing Sam Cooke's Bring It On Home to Me to write the song. And it's one of those cases where the B-side of a single eclipsed the popularity of the A-side. So when it was released, it was the B-side of Happy Landing. But for me, number four, You Really Got a Hold on Me.
Philip, do you have anything by The Miracles?
I don't, actually. It was a tough call. There were a lot of songs I considered. I especially leaned into Going to a Go-Go, not one of their more popular ones, but I love the beat of that song. But in the end, got edged out.
All right, then I'll also rephrase this question as, because we're talking about The Miracles, anything by Smokey Robinson as well. We'll expand that to just Smokey Robinson.
Nope. I thought about Being With You as well, but don't have any Smokey on the list.
Wow. Okay. So I did not go with You Really Got a Hold on Me, but I went with 1967's The Tears of a Clown by Hank Crosby, Smokey Robinson, and Stevie Wonder. Again, another number one on the Billboard US Hot 100. The reason I picked it, I did not know the Smokey Robinson version at first. I knew the version by a little known band called The Beat, or known as in the US as The English Beat, who covered the song in 1979. Shout out to A Gamer Looks at 40, who also chimed in with this song kind of separately. I'm glad that someone else heard the English Beats version. But when I went back and heard Smokey Robinson, it made perfect sense to me. A couple other covers that are worth mentioning. In 1994, hair band Enough's Enough covered the song for their 1985 album. And in 2010, Phil Collins covered the song on his Going Back covers album. Shout out to Patreon playlister Cactus Pete, as well as on Twitter to our friends Steve and Jerry at the Something for Nothing, a Rush fan cast, Mr. Know-It-All 5000, Kevin Peters, and Michael Turner, who all chimed in with The Tears of a Clown. We also have Patreon playlister Movie Lovers, TV Lovers Unite, who chimed in with both Shop Around from Smokey Robinson and The Miracles, and You Got a Hold on Me, Ed, connected with you there. Matt Kennedy at the X Radio X podcast chimed in with I Second That Emotion. The 88 Miles Per Hour podcast chimed in with Ooh Ooh Baby. And Clive chimed in with Tracks of My Tears. So a lot of Smokey Robinson love here. I mean, to me, in some way or shape or form, I knew between writing and performing, he was going to be talked about tonight.
I was so hoping somebody was going to say Cruising because I really wanted that to be my bonus track.
Yeah, I know. I'm waiting. I have a song in the back of my mind that I'll be curious to see if anybody goes there, because then my pick for an honorable mention will be easy because it's literally the one I was bouncing in and out. So I'm still waiting. I haven't heard it yet. But with that, we are moving on to track five here. Philip, what do you got?
All right. Track five. This is another artist we are going to have to trifecta on. And I say that having just gotten the axe for The Miracles, but make way, roll out the red carpet. Here come the Emperors of Soul. I got The Temptations and a song that no Pacific Northwester will ever request. I Wish It Would Rain.
Wow.
I love this song. I was on the Gordy subsidiary, number one for 3 weeks on the R&B charts of Billboard, but only number four on the Hot 100. And in Cashbox and Record World, it went to number two. This is also the last major hit, I believe, with David Ruffin as the lead singer. He was fired from the group shortly thereafter. He was pretty difficult to work with, apparently. But this song is just so beautiful. The strings, again, that I've mentioned. One of the things that they do in the song, too, that I absolutely love on the last verse, especially, is when they build the chord behind the lead singer. When David says, "I'm crying," and the rest of the Temptations come in with "crying, crying, crying," and they just make that chord right in front of your ears as it happens. Such a beautiful song. And thank you to Sissy J on Twitter, who agreed with me about that one. That is such a beautiful song. I Wish It Would Rain, track 5.
Ed, do you have anything by the Temptations?
Oh, I have this specific song as my number 6. So if this kills the bingo, I am sorry. This song is so good. It's a Whitfield and Strong song. It's so heartfelt. It's the saddest song in all of Motown's catalog, because the guy who wrote the lyrics, Roger Penzabene, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, he wrote it after he found out his wife was cheating on him, and he ended up committing suicide like a week after it was released.
Oh my God.
The song guts me every time I hear it, and I still love it.
Well, I'm going to go with the Temptations, because obviously that trifecta is happening. I went with something on the opposite spectrum, completely opposite in vibe and tone, but again, written in 1964 by, I just said it, Smokey Robinson and Ronald White. I went with the Temptations' first number one single and probably their signature song, but as a father of two beautiful daughters, there was no way that my girl was not making this list. Sentimentally for me, I have a beautiful wife and two beautiful girls, and I can listen to this song and picture all three of them in my head. And there's a different kind of love that comes out of the song through the lyrics, so that the same song could be sang to my wife as to both of my daughters. I've been playing this song for years, and every time I play it, I dedicate it to them. This is my track 10. It's the song that just melts my heart. I love this song more than any other Motown song. Smokey stated the song is not about a specific girl, but written with all the women of the world in mind. So my way of deciphering that song through different kinds of love and emotion for the three women in my life, it works on all of them. In 2017, the song was selected for preservation by the National Recording Registry, by the Library of Congress, as being culturally, historically, or artistically significant. It is. There's over 230 covers of this classic, including Otis Redding, the Rolling Stones, Stevie Wonder, again, Motown, all that in-house covering going on, Al Green, Michael Jackson, once again, Dolly Parton, David Allen Coe, John Hyatt, and Alabama. Country and Americana clasped onto this song, and it's been many versions through the Country Ringer as well. The list just goes on and on. Shout out to Patreon playlister Cactus Pete, who chimed in with Just My Imagination. Sissy Phillip, who you mentioned earlier, chimed in with the same as you and Ed. Patreon playlister Eric Chale, who chimed in with You're My Everything. Patreon playlister Ryan Howell, who chimed in with Ain't Too Proud to Beg. And finally, Malice After Midnight and Matt Kennedy from the X Radio X podcast, who chimed in with another fantastic one on Twitter, Papa Was a Rolling Stone. Obviously, the Temptations were going to be a trifecta tonight.
Can we talk for a second, though? You just mentioned Papa Was a Rolling Stone. Can we talk about how that is the greatest long intro to any song ever?
Oh, my God. Yeah, you just wanted to keep going.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom. Boom, boom.
You're disappointed when the song kicks in. You just, it's like those songs in techno that build up and build up and build up, and you're waiting for the drop to happen. This one's a different era of that. All right. Well, Ed, we are right back to you now for your track 5. Now, I can't believe we're saying we're only at track 5 right now, but the second half of our playlists are really filled in. So We are going through this playlist a lot quicker than it sounds, but we're on track 5.
And I feel like this is going to be another one where we all mention an artist, if not the same song. But my number 5 is Reflections by Diana Ross and the Supremes. It was actually the first record released under that new branding of Diana Ross and the Supremes, not just the Supremes. It's another Holland Dozier Holland song. Those electronic effects in that song were so far ahead of their time. And if you're of a certain age, so where Brian and I am, at least, I'm not going to speak for anyone else, you might have first heard it as the theme song to China Beach. Mm-hmm. So that's my number 5.
I will say you had the very first hit record with the new moniker. I originally had the last big hit under the old moniker, just the Supremes. I originally had The Happening as my track four, but I switched things around. And instead, in my track eight, I have the Supremes without Diana Ross. I have Stoned Love. This song has Gene Terrell singing lead on it. And it's actually the first song on my list that is officially on the parent label, Motown. It was a number one hit on the R&B charts, went to number five on Cashbox and Record World, number seven on the Billboard Hot 100, number 24 on the Easy Listening charts. The thing I love so much about Stoned Love, it has that kind of gospel buildup at the beginning and then just hits you with that pounding classic Motown beat to it on the chorus and on the verses. And Gene Terrell's voice is just beautiful. The background vocals from Mary Wilson and Cindy Bird's song on it, stellar. Just as a song, just gels together so perfectly. And I had to include it on my list. And of course, shout out on Twitter to Chael and Z1Pod, who also thought outside the box with this one and went with the Supremes, but chose Stoned Love as well. So thanks for lessening the guilt at choosing a post-Diana Ross song.
That could bear really well for you then, because two other playlisters have chimed in with it already. Now for me, I went with the Supremes and another, I don't know if you guys ever heard of this. This might be an odd outsider writing group that they brought in for this song, but Holland Dozier Holland. Maybe we might've mentioned it 17 times tonight so far.
Rings a bell.
Yeah. I'm going with 1965's Stop in the Name of Love. Reached number one on the Billboard US Hot 100 and number eight on my playlist. Billboard ranked the song number 38 on their list of 100 greatest girl group songs of all time. It's been covered well over 100 times, including versions by the Isley Brothers, Johnny Rivers, Gloria Danor, among many, many others. And Gomez, I got to give another shout out to him because another 80s movie, but one of my favorites. It's the last movie. Here's a little trivia. The last movie to feature the Rat Pack together. And it is Cannonball Run 2. And Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise, and Sammy Davis Jr. perform this song in drag while Dean Martin tries to pitch the group to Charles Nelson Reilly. And it is just a hysterical scene of the movie. I love the song regardless, but as a kid, seeing it in that movie over and over, because it was a car racing movie, as a young kid, I loved it. And this song's fantastic. Like the shout outs you mentioned as well, Philip, shout out to Patreon playlisters, Ryan Howell, Anthony Welk, and Movie Lovers, TV Lovers Unite, all chimed in with another classic, You Can't Hurry Love, I guess, especially after you've stopped in the name of it.
I guess not, but I will say that's a great song too. When people think of the Supremes as Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, that's the song that I think of best, shows why they belong in the hall as well. So definitely a great pick. Nothing bad to say about it. Just didn't fit the overall vibe that I had going on.
I get it. And one other shout out, Malice After Midnight chimed in with another different one, Love Child. So a lot of great stuff. Obviously, no denying the Supremes with or without Diana, as well as Diana with or without the Supremes. Any one of those could go in any different direction here because they're all absolute classics. My track five, believe it or not, we're only at my track five. There's still a half a playlist to go, but they're mostly filled in. My track five was written by another really rare, random songwriting group, Holland Dozier Holland. I swear to God, you're drinking tonight, you're doing a shot every time we say Holland Dozier Holland, you're not making it through this episode. But it's another number one hit of theirs. They certainly earned the shots themselves for it. Written in 1965, I am going with the Four Tops, I Can't Help Myself Because I Can't, Sugar Pie, Honey Bunch. Rolling Stone magazine ranks the song number 415 on their list of 500 greatest songs of all time. Cover songs, believe it or not, only a mere 78, which given the hundreds I've mentioned for all the other artists, Those versions include Dolly Parton, Johnny Rivers, Taj Mahal, the blues guitarist, and Kid Rock, which was a more recent one. Shout out to Patreon playlister Ryan Howell, who chimed in with this one. Patreon playlister Sissy J, who chimed in with Baby, I Need Your Lovin'. Patreon playlister Eric Chael and Bill Leidecke on Twitter, who chimed in with Reach Out, I'll Be There. And Malice After Midnight, who chimed in with Bernadette. Any of those shout out songs I could have easily went with. Philip, do you have any four tops on your playlist tonight?
Well, I first just want to say that I was booing the fact that it only had double digit covers. I wasn't booing the song itself. Although I will, fun trivia fact, Levi Stubbs, lead singer of the Four Tops, was unhappy with the master version of that song. He thought his vocals, his lead vocals were a little off. He thought they were maybe a little too syrupy saccharine. He wanted to re-record the track, and Berry Gordy said, nope, that's it. I don't have any Four Tops. That was, I wanted to make sure I didn't go with all powerhouse acts because Motown had so many great acts that didn't have too many hit records. You know, I'm kind of hoping somebody will mention another group that might give the Isley Brothers a run for their money for my honorable mention. But Reach Out, I'll Be There is definitely the song I would have used if I had been able to work them into my list.
All right, Ed, any four tops for you?
They were my hardest cut. They were my 11 song, but they did not make my list.
All right. So with that being said, we're on to track seven. I had Smokey Robinson's The Tears of a Clown. Philip, we're back to you.
All right. Track seven. Like I said, I didn't want to go all powerhouse acts. I had to have some of the few hit wonders, and this is one of them. My track seven is What Becomes of the Brokenhearted by Jimmy Ruffin, the brother of Temptation singer David Ruffin. This was released on the Soul subsidiary label, went to number 6 on the R&B charts, 7 on the Hot 100, number 9 in Cashbox, and number 7 in Record World. Like This Old Heart of Mine, this was one of the first Motown songs I really, really loved. I loved the sax line in this song. There's a good string line. The harmonies of the background vocals are just immaculate. And let's not forget Jimmy Ruffin's voice either. I love the way he sings this song. This has like a Sam Cooke smoothness to it and also has an ache in his voice that reminds you of Otis Redding. He combines those two things so effortlessly in this song, just so perfect. I had to put it in my 7 slot.
Ed, do you have anything by Jimmy Ruffin or the song itself? What Becomes of the Brokenhearted?
I love that song, but I do not. It's now in contention for my bonus.
Same here. Great pick, Philip. I love it. It's not in my list. I only have one spot left. And from what I'm seeing here, Ed only has one spot left and you have two spots left. Ed, we are back to you. You're the first one closing out tonight with your track 7.
My track 7 was the one that I figured might be the one that I don't get any extra play with here, but it's a song that I love so much and I felt like I had to include it. It is Smiling Faces Sometimes by The Undisputed Truth from the 1971 album The Undisputed Truth, written by Barrett Strong, who gave Motown their first real hit with Money, which reached number 2 on the US R&B chart in 1960. And while it is The Undisputed Truth's only real hit, it's shown up in movies like Dead Presidents and in video game soundtracks like Grand Theft Auto 5. And it was originally written for The Temptations.
First off, Ed, I want to give you major kudos because you are filling in for Gomez with short notice. And the fact that you dropped a Grand Theft Auto bomb into your playlist, I think he's going to vote for you regardless of any of the other picks. But I think you might have just won Gomez's heart over with the Grand Theft Auto right there. That's my guess. I love that pick. Unfortunately, did not make mine. I've only got one spot left, and it's not really a crazy shocker where I'm going with my track 9. But Philip, you have two spots left. Could this very well be in your list? Because you've got some deeper stuff here.
I was binging The Undisputed Truth, I want to say either yesterday or the day before, just so I could make sure I had a song that I said, you know, didn't make my list. You know, as I binged them, I have to say they were a little funkier than what I've got. So they wouldn't have really fit into the playlist, because with my lists, I like to make something that actually could be a radio playlist for an hour, something that kind of flows well together, just feels natural. Undisputed Truth, just a little too funky. That is a great song. I think they were maybe kneecapped a little by a couple factors, but one of the things is that the lead singer sounds a lot like Pop Staples. So you could confuse them for the Staples singers. So I think that may have kept them from becoming bigger stars than they ended up being. But yeah, that's a great, great track as well.
All right. Well, moving on to track 8, we're all closed up. I had the Supremes' Stop in the Name of Love. Philip had the Supremes' Stone Love. I'm just realizing now I should have chastised you for this earlier, Ed, by choosing Marvin Gaye's Inner City Blues, Make Me Wanna Holler. You actually get a bingo chopping axe there. I should have made a bigger deal out of that. So maybe now Gomez might be losing that Grand Theft Auto favor you just won over with him.
Not necessarily. He's famous for being an axe man too. So
you're right. Believe it or not, not a lot of axes flying around tonight.
I got one. So,
yeah. So, I mean, that could be a good thing for you, but regardless, track 9, you had Stevie Wonder's Sir Duke. Philip, you're back to you for track 9.
All right. This is my final, what I call the big gamble. This song is from 1972, recorded in 1972, written. This is my only song, believe it or not, written by Smokey Robinson. Smokey Robinson and Michel Legrand. I went with a song pretty much based on the Lady Sings the Blues soundtrack, but it didn't actually appear on the soundtrack. The tune was the love theme for that soundtrack. Smokey Robinson added the words later, and when he presented them to Berry Gordy was mad. It's like, we should have recorded that ahead of time. We could have put that in the soundtrack. So the song I went with is called Happy, and it's by Bobby Darin.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Mac the Knife, Splish Splash guy, that guy. Yeah. He recorded the song. It is tightly associated with the movie, like I said. Went to number 67 on the Hot 173, Cashbox number 59, Record World 59. The easy listening charts of Billboard went to number 32. This song was his last chart hit. He died on the operating table later in 1973 while they were trying to correct a congenitive heart defect he was born with. But the song is just so beautiful. It's over 6 minutes long, does not feel like 6 minutes long. It has a very great gospel ending. Kind of the feel of it at the end where it's just the drums doing kind of fills in between the background singers who keep singing happy. I feel so happy, happy. I feel so happy. And the drums are going, bump, bump. And it's just a great track that you could just keep listening to for several more minutes if they kept doing it. Like I said, it's a deep, deep cut. I hope somebody takes it upon themselves to check this song out because it is just so amazing and just so unconventional. I had to do it. So Bobby Darin, track 9, Happy on the Motown label itself.
That is a great pick. Did not make my last choice. I love it. I think that's a great deep cut. Applause for that one. I usually go deep more, and this show I kind of tended to not go as deep, but I love the pick. Ed, obviously your playlist is closed, but if you want to chime in on it.
I love Bobby Darin, and I actually don't know that song.
Oh, cool.
At all. So I'm going to have to check it out.
It's a good one. All right. Well, moving on to my track 5. It was a group that I actually thought was so on the nose, it would have been an instant band trifecta at least. But being Ed is closed out, I'm actually shocked that it won't be. I'm going to go with the title track from the Jackson 5's ABC. Reached number 1 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, dethroning the Beatles' Let It Be. Cover songs, none worthy to mention. Big exclamation point, fireworks, stars. However, in 1991, hip-hop group Naughty by Nature sampled the track for their massive hit OPP. That's certainly worthy of a mention. If you're into 90s hip hop, be sure to check out Playlist Wars, The Battle of 90s Hip Hop Part 2,
which is coming your way in just a few short weeks,
because there may or may not be a mention of that song in that episode. Shout out to Patreon playlister Cactus Pete, who chimed in with this song, Matt Kennedy at X Radio X, who chimed in with The Love You Gave, and Bobby at the F and Cultured podcast, who chimed in with Rock and Robin. Can't go wrong with any of these. Philip, you only have one song left on your list. Do we cross over at the Jackson 5? Did that make your list?
The only song on my playlist that was a number one hit on the pop charts, and it's my track 10. It is the Jackson 5, and the fact that's my track 10, I bet you can guess what it is.
Probably the song I was debating back and forth with this one, I'll Be There.
I'll Be There. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Number one.
Either one I could have went with.
Number one on the R&B charts, the Hot 100, Cashbox, Record World. It was also their only hit on the Easy Listening charts, where it went to number 24. I'll Be There is such a beautiful song. You talked about My Girl as a song you could sing to your wife or to your daughters, and it just expresses a different kind of love. I feel the exact same way about I'll Be There, which it sounds like it's a, you know, a breaking up amicably song, but it could also, it could be your high school senior song. Seniors who are saying goodbye to their high school friends, going off to college or going off to make their way in the world, that just says, whenever you need me, I'll be there. And again, I'm a sucker for vocal harmonies. And this is kind of an odd analogy, but I'm going to say it anyway. Have you ever been like a mile away from a train whistle that kind of sounds like it's in harmony with itself because it's coming down the track and the Doppler effect kind of makes that chord sound? That's kind of how the Jackson 5 sound when they're singing the chorus at the end. It's a beautiful, it's not meant as an insult at all. Like, it's a beautiful thing. It just sounds so amazing the way they come together on I'll Be There as they play out. So fantastic song, and I had to close with it. I got to admit, I thought one of you guys would have had End of the Road by Boys to Men as a natural closer.
So I talked to Brian about it before we did this, and I was like, so what are we talking about when we say Motown? Like, anything that's ever been released by Motown? Because had we gone to the 90s, I would not have been able to forgive myself if I didn't have Boys to Men on my list.
Yeah, I went with a more classic, and honestly, I just couldn't see any song from the 90s era, or even Somebody's Watching Me from Rockwell easing into my list, because it just felt like a different decade, a different vibe. And that's just because of the evolution of the music itself. End of the Road would definitely make a all-encompassing Motown playlist for me. But considering I focus mine on the golden years, I would call it, it just seemed out of place. The one that I'm shocked nobody mentioned tonight, because I had such a hard time. I have to just mention it because I had such a hard time not putting this in. And I was praying you guys would make my honorable mention easy, was Edwin Starr's War.
You know, I would have gone with 25 Miles instead of War. But yeah, I thought about throwing in some Star as well.
You see, for me, I think about Blackstone Cherry's cover of it. It's a song that holds over through all the decades. A lot of people bring this song out, and even the original, I could think of probably, and I'm not even a movie guy, and I could think of a dozen movies that have the war. Yeah. And it's just a staple in movies and a staple in pop culture. I had a hard time not including it, but now we're at the point where we do have to tip our hats to somebody around the table and go with our honorable mention. So Philip, we'll start with you. What's your honorable mention pick of the night?
Ed, I tip my hat to you for this old heart of mine, the Isley Brothers. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the Rod Stewart cover because the Isley Brothers version is just so definitive. That is definitely my honorable mention.
Ed.
Well, I'm tipping my hat to Brian because I Can't Help Myself was the hardest cut I made to my list. So that somebody else said it guarantees it my bonus spot.
All right. And mine, I actually have a few that I could go with between Jimmy Ruffin, The Undisputed Truth, and I'm going to go with the one I had right at the beginning of the night. As soon as you said it, I'm like, man, I wish Mary Wells, My Guy. I have to go with it. It's a great song. It just didn't fit the 10 that I was going with, but it's a historic song, like you said at the beginning.
The other two that didn't get mentioned that just like crushed my soul were Money by Barrett Strong and Anything by the Marvelettes.
I was thinking about Too Many Fish in the Sea. I thought maybe the Four Seasons pick might have been too big a gamble, and I had that one standing by in case I had a change of heart. I had the Too Many Fish in the Sea. I also would have been tearing myself apart if anybody had mentioned either song by the Velvettes, Needle in a Haystack, or He Was Really Saying Something. Like, those songs never even made the top 40, and those are still R&B classics.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out while we're talking to about other songs to a couple of the playlister chime-ins that we didn't get to. Eric Chale chimed in with Rick James, Mary Jane, which, again, you think about like that 80s era, that's one that could have pretty much been in contention in my list, but it didn't fit the sound I went with. Ryan Howell and Movie Lovers TV Lovers Unite chimed in with Edwin Starr's War. And then Anthony Welk chimed in with Boys to Men, End of the Road, like we just talked about, and Lionel Richie's All Night Long. All could have easily fit in this discussion. And I think we did a great sweep of songs between the three different playlists. Philip, why don't you go through your playlist track 1 through 10, as well as the honorable mention, so people can hear your Motown playlist in its entirety?
Be my pleasure. Track 1 kicked it off with The Contours, Do You Love Me? Track 2, It Takes Two by Marvin Gaye and Kim Weston. Track 3, Place in the Sun by Stevie Wonder. Track 4, The Night by The Four Seasons. Track 5, I Wish It Would Rain by The Temptations. Track 6, Heat Wave from Martha and the Vandellas. Track 7, Jimmy Ruffin's What Becomes of the Brokenhearted. Track 8, Stoned Love by The Supremes. Track 9, Happy by Bobby Darin. And track 10, The Jackson 5, I'll Be There, with my honorable mention, This Old Heart of Mine from the Isley Brothers.
Ed.
Track 1, My Guy, Mary Wells. Track 2, This Old Heart of Mine, the Isley Brothers. Track 3, Nowhere to Run, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. Track 4, You Really Got a Hold on Me, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. Track 5, Reflections, Diana Ross and the Supremes. Track 6, I Wish It Would Rain, The Temptations. Track 7, Smiling Faces Sometimes, The Undisputed Truth. Track 8, Inner City Blues, Make Me Wanna Holler, Marvin Gaye. Track 9, Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder. Track 10, Do You Love Me, The Contours. And my bonus track, I Can't Help Myself, The Four Tops.
All right, and I kick things off with Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, Dancing in the Street. Track 2, Rare Earth, Get Ready. Track 3, Marvin Gaye's I Heard It Through the Grapevine. Track 4, The Contours, Do You Love Me? Track 5, The Four Tops, I Can't Help Myself. Track 6, Stevie Wonder, Superstition. Track 7, Smokey Robinson, The Tears of a Clown. Track 8, The Supremes, Stop in the Name of Love. Track 9, The Jackson 5's ABC. And track 10, The Temptations, My Girl, with my honorable mention, Mary Wells, My Guy. As expected, there were some band and artist crossovers tonight, such as Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, The Supremes and the Temptations, along with a song trifecta for The Contours' Do You Love Me? Three distinctly different playlists here. I think the playlister jury is going to have a hard time voting for this one, but now we turn our fate over to you. Head over to PlaylistWarsPodcast.com, visit the Motown page, and vote for which one of the three of us you think got it right. First off, Philip, thank you so much for joining us tonight and being a Patreon playlister. Gomez and I sincerely appreciate the extra support you provide to the show. You also have a blog called Rock Hall Monitors. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and where people can find it?
All right. Well, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has been a hobby of mine. In fact, that's how I first discovered you, Brian, on your previous podcast. You did a Rock Hall episode about that. And I'm pretty infrequent about it. I'm working on a reactions to the class of 2022 entry right now. And you'll recall, I actually did a kind of fan fiction playlist about last year's class, the class of 2021. I'm also working on a fan fiction playlist about the class of 2022, which I'll mention on my blog as well. You can find it. It's on Blogspot or Blogger, whichever you prefer. It's Rock Hall Monitors, spelled exactly as it sounds, rockhallmonitors.blogspot.com.
And I'll also have the link on the Motown page at playlistwarspodcast.com in case people want to click through and read that. Ed, why don't you tell people a little bit more about The Greatest Song Ever Sung Poorly and where they can listen to that show?
Thanks, Brian. Well, I am one half of The Greatest Song Ever Sung Poorly, the podcast that takes karaoke exactly as seriously as it should be taken. You can find us pretty much everywhere, but specifically at sungpoorly.com, where all our episodes and blog posts and merch happen to live on the internet.
Well, thank you both gentlemen for coming on tonight. This has been an absolute pleasure talking music with you, and I hope we can do it again down the road.
Absolutely. This was so much fun. Best way to spend a night.
I would love it.
Playlisters, of course, thank you all for listening, because without you, we would not be doing this. Remember, vote for your favorite playlist and check out past episodes anytime at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com. If you'd like to support the show a little bit extra, head over to patreon.com/PlaylistWars and select a tier that works best for you. And stay tuned next week when we have a new battle taking place right here on Playlist Wars. Good night, everybody.
You can find Playlist Wars on Facebook and Twitter at Playlist Wars, on Instagram at Playlist Wars Podcast, on email at playlistwars@gmail.com, or via voicemail at 201-644-6498. That's 201-644-6498. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a 5-star review and be sure to tell a friend or multiple friends about the show. Until next time, thanks for listening.